The Wisconsin Department of Health Services released Healthy Wisconsin, an initiative to improve statewide efforts on key health issues. The report includes a call to action to get us to cut back on smoking and binge drinking while doing better on nutrition and exercise.
Dr. Patrick Remington joins us now. He's Associate Dean of Public Health at the UW School of Medicine and Public Health. Dr. Remington, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Well, before we get into specific issues, when it comes to health behaviors, can the state, can policymakers working in conjunction with others really make a difference, or are we just spinning our wheels here?
No, I think it's really important that the state health department play a leadership role in developing plans, not just in isolation, really together with healthcare providers and community organizations, to set goals for where we want to be as a state. These are plans that typically are set every 10 years. But this plan looks at a shorter time frame. It's set for 2020 so that we hope to see substantive change in the next couple of years.
And the five main issues, they cover a lot of ground, but the five action areas involve alcohol, binge drinking in particular, nutrition and physical activity, opioid addiction, suicide prevention, and tobacco use. Do these seem to you like good areas of emphasis for this report?
Absolutely. These are problems that not only lead to a lot of death and disability, but also are modifiable. Some places in the country have put policies into place and have actually seen significant declines in smoking or in rates of obesity. The previous plan that was developed 4 or 5 years ago was very extensive, over 1,000 pages long, with hundreds of goals and objectives. And this is an attempt to focus the attention on high priority issues so that people can begin working together. If you all work together on a few problems, you're more likely to make some progress than if everybody's working alone in isolation.
Now, each of these problems has its own areas of emphasis, different ways to tackle it. But this one common theme kept coming to me in this report. They talk about adverse childhood experiences, or ACEs. Bad things, abuse, parents with addiction, there's a list of things. This idea that the more of these things a kid is exposed to, the more likely they are to have all this bad stuff. Alcohol problems, bad nutrition, diabetes, opioid addiction, all of it can be traced or at least influenced in part by these adverse childhood experiences. Is this new research that we're learning about now?
Well, it's actually quite interesting because a resident who trained here at Madison in internal medicine did the defining studies to look at these ACEs, adverse childhood experiences, and looked at adults with chronic illness. And when you ask them about their early life experiences and compare them to adults without chronic illness, you find that there are common themes that come through, that children often have mental abuse or physical abuse, or come from broken homes or homes where parents have been incarcerated. And these adverse child experiences, when you total them up, there's a dose-response relationship. The more adverse childhood experiences you see in a child, the more likely you are later in life to have chronic illness such as diabetes, cancer, heart disease, substance abuse.
Now, that's scary, but I gather there's some upside. Knowing this, there are interventions we can do, maybe even for kids, young adults, that might help relieve some of those effects?
Well, there's great evidence that these adverse experiences can be prevented in the first place or certainly modified. I think the other interesting aspect of ACEs is that nobody disagrees with working with children who are not given opportunity or who are in these unfortunate situations. It's not like dealing with adults who may be using substances or not exercising or eating right. Many people view that as a choice and that as an adult behavior. But these children who are in these situations where they don't have a good environment to lead a healthy life, everyone agrees that that is something we need to address.
Talking to Patrick Remington from the UW School of Medicine and Public Health about a new report called Healthy Wisconsin. This is from the Wisconsin Department of Health Services. A call to action, in part, on a number of different health measurements here in Wisconsin. Could probably have a whole nother conversation about these adverse childhood experiences, but I want to get into these issue areas. Wisconsin, sadly, famous for binge drinking and alcohol problems. By some measures, in this report, they cited a measure where we're 49th. Or second worst, if you want to look at it that way, when it comes to binge drinking. What kind of public health measures could we take to get our binge drinking rates down?
Well, unlike some topics like opioid abuse or cigarette smoking, where the efforts are to prevent use of those substances, certainly abuse, alcohol is more complicated in that alcohol is used socially and is part of our culture here in Wisconsin. And so the focus needs to be on reducing the abuse of alcohol. And binge drinking is an example. It's defined as having five or more drinks on one occasion, or for women, it's four or more drinks. And that is tightly associated with harm, with injury, deaths, with addiction later in life, even sexual assault and intimate partner violence. And so the focus needs to not only be just on telling people that's a bad thing to do, but really understanding culture and understanding how we can substitute hobbies or outings where alcohol is not central. And there have been some programs right here at the University of Wisconsin looking at substitutions like Thursday night or midnight basketball, where you're not telling kids, college kids, not to drink. You're substituting with an alternative which is healthy.
Right, and that's something people have raised, and we've talked to alcohol policy people, the idea that our culture in Wisconsin has normalized regular drinking, frequent drinking, and excessive drinking to where, you know, we get comments from listeners, well, if you define binge drinking as only five drinks, well, of course we binge drink, because that's, you know, that's a Thursday night. So how it's pretty deep-seated now. How do you really make headway on that?
If it were simple, we wouldn't have been talking about this for 30 or 40 years. It is deeply embedded in culture, and culture changes come much more slowly than simply information campaigns or medical technology. It begins with families educating their kids. It begins in early school education, and it really begins with a plan like this, where the entire community comes together and defines an issue as a public health problem, and then looks across all the sectors, from the industry, the alcohol industry, the taverns and bars, all the way through to educational institutions and employers, to address the problem, because you won't do it with a simple fix.
I want to move on to another one of the action areas here, nutrition and physical activity. Now, we hear we're supposed to eat, the numbers have varied, but five or more servings of vegetables in a day. A number that struck me here, one in four Wisconsinites, adults we're talking now, eat fewer than one serving of vegetables a day. Fewer than one sounds like about zero to me. That sounds like we've got a lot of ground to make up there.
It does, and it's a good example where information alone, it won't be sufficient. We pretty much have saturated the airwaves with advice on how to eat right and exercise. We need to shift to changing the opportunities for healthy eating and for exercise. A good example is just today, I had lunch at the cafeteria at the UW Hospital, and by intent, they've dropped the price of the salad bar so that you cannot eat more than $4 worth of salad. That by discounting the healthy foods, they're bringing people in. Patients, staff, and visitors come to the UW Hospital because of the special discounting of the healthy food, and that economic policy makes it easier to take the advice to eat a healthy diet.
Right, and that can apply at a much larger level. And we've talked about in the past, we can say all we want, hey, kids should get exercise. If you're not in a safe neighborhood to get out and exercise, that's not so easy. We can say, eat your fruits and veggies. If you're in a food desert without convenient access to vegetables, that's hard to do. So how do we start to help structure neighborhoods, communities, to have access to these things?
I just was at a conference talking about preventive medicine and public health, and I like to think of this not as an education problem. It's not even a law and policy problem. It's an engineering problem in that we need to design where kids go to school, where we live, work, and recreate, to make it so the healthy choice is the easy choice, that the healthy food options are available, first of all, because they're not available in all communities. They're not, grocery stores are not available in some neighborhoods, and then make it more affordable. So once you have the knowledge, you then have the opportunity to put that into play.
We're talking to public health expert Patrick Remington about the recently released, this is from the state, the Healthy Wisconsin Report.
And we'd love to hear from you at 800-642-1234. What do you think needs to change in Wisconsin to become a healthier state? What health initiatives are there in your community, maybe that are working? Have you personally made any lifestyle changes for health reasons? And how did you do it? Call in at 800-642-1234. And you can also post on the Central Time Facebook page.
We'll pick up the conversation, maybe hear from you, coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert, and we're picking up our discussion with Dr. Patrick Remington about the Healthy Wisconsin Initiative.
And you can join in at 800-642-1234. What kind of health areas, like smoking or drinking, do you think Wisconsin should work to improve? What health initiatives do you see in place in your community? Have you been involved in something like this? Maybe you work for a local health care provider, a city planner, a community member. What have you done in your area, and what would you like to see? Call in at 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. Before we go to our callers, I want to get into at least one more of the focus areas here. Suicide is something we haven't talked about as much, and trying to lower the suicide rate and suicide attempt rate here in Wisconsin. What kind of public health initiatives can maybe make a difference there?
Well, first of all, I think it's important that suicide be viewed as a public health problem. It's not just a problem related to mental health or health care. Second is it's important to understand the root causes. For example, rates of suicide attempts are higher in children with many adverse child experiences. And so that won't help the risk today, but certainly investing in the future. If we have better environments, better opportunities for young children, we're going to see better health down the road. And finally, we just need to align our healthcare policies with what the evidence shows to work. We had caps on the amount of care people could get for mental health in the past, and there's even talk about capping that in the future. That will absolutely reduce the amount of care people are able to get who have depression or are at risk of suicide if we go back to a policy where we limit the number of insurance dollars that could be spent on mental health issues.
Well, speaking of mental health, that ties into another one of the action areas, a very strong overlap for opioid addiction and people with mental health concerns. This is something that might help with both of these problems, mental health access.
And I'd say if there's one new public health problem in the 21st century that's come on the radar, it's been opioid addiction. Opioids have been around for a long time. In fact, there was a time when, and still continues to be, people who should be prescribed opioids, who have pain that is where it's appropriate, such as at the end of life or cancer-related pain. But we've been too generous in prescribing opioids and not careful enough in monitoring the consequences. And so there's a well-known initiative in this state and around the country to do a better job of monitoring. And it's not that we need to avoid the use of opioids. We just need to prescribe appropriately.
Let's go to our callers now at 800-642-1234. John is with us on the line in Madison. John, hi.
Hi. Two things. I think gardening and urban agriculture, we could expand that to make sure that more people have access to vegetables and good food. And also, I think it's very important that suicide be thought of as a health problem. Depression and anxiety and the so-called mood disorders are physical health problems that can often be fatal if not treated right.
John, thanks for the call. Let's start with that second point first, agreeing with you on the importance of treating mental health problems as health problems.
Yeah, and there's stigma associated with mental health. In fact, one of the goals in the nation is to reduce stigma related to mental health, that this is not something people should keep secret or keep away from their family or friends, it's something that we should talk about, just as any other physical ailment. 50 years ago, people didn't talk about cancer. They kept that secret. And I hope we see a day when we can talk about mental health as if it were a disease of the brain and not a moral failing.
Could the same be said for addiction, for that matter? And we are starting to see more people talk about their family's experiences with addiction.
There's no question that recognizing addiction for what it is, which is a disorder of the brain that can be treated, can be prevented if we start early enough, but certainly can be treated if detected and treated appropriately. But stigma remains a problem in that people don't seek care, and also people aren't as supportive within communities or within the families of those who have these brain diseases.
And John had also mentioned, getting back to the exercise and nutrition side of things, maybe the value of urban agriculture as part of that engineering process you were talking about to get more access to good, healthy food.
I thought the same thing. It is really a way to design for health, that if we promote eating healthy fruits and vegetables and are concerned about the cost, by promoting urban agriculture, by putting farms that are accessible nearby communities, but also gardens in everybody's yard. We don't have a blade of grass in my yard. It's been substituted with gardens and natural plants. And that's a way to design our property so that we don't have to worry about chemicals and weed killers, but actually get the benefit from growing vegetables.
John, thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. Talking about public health here in Wisconsin with Patrick Remington, looking at a new state report, Healthy Wisconsin, calling for action in a number of health areas, looking for measurable improvement on things like alcohol abuse, nutrition, opioid addiction, suicide, tobacco use. Back to your calls at 800-642-1234. Steve is with us in Milwaukee. Steve, hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Long-time listener, first-time caller. I wanted to comment on Dr. Remington's statement that he feels that the problem is not an educational problem, it's an engineering problem, and I agree with that. The question that I have is that why have we engineered our educational budgets so that schools cannot afford what they need? So they need to line their entranceways with Coca-Cola and Pepsi machines so that as students enter that building, they're enticed first thing in the morning with purchasing sugar. So it's just a question I have.
Steve, thanks for the call. So the presence of unhealthy foods in schools, this has been a debate for a while.
Well, it's no different than hospitals. The hospital I trained at in Seattle has now removed the McDonald's that was put in two decades ago. Public no longer tolerates McDonald's in hospitals. In fact, they've gone towards really healthy food choices. I think the same has to happen in our schools. We need to design that environment so that, again, making the healthy choice the easy choice. There's a school in Marshfield that took sugar-sweetened beverages out and replaced it with water, first of all, easily accessible fountains, but then they branded their mascot Tiger Water so that kids felt that it was not only a healthier choice, but a more loyal choice to the school to have a bottle of Tiger Water, which is basically what you should drink when you're thirsty.
Thanks a lot for that call at 800-642-1234. One more action area that we haven't gotten into from the state report is tobacco. Now, my understanding is over time, we've seen tobacco usage go down among adults and kids, and then we kind of leveled off. We've plateaued. We've stopped making progress.
Well, two things. We have leveled off, and we're at about 17% of adults. But I want to make a really important point, because the progress has been good, but it's been very unequal. And we have tenfold differences in smoking rates. Right now in Wisconsin, I just checked the results. It's as low as 2% among women who give birth. If you have a college degree, it's 20% if you didn't graduate from high school. 60% if you're low income, down to 6% if you're high income. So these tremendous disparities in smoking rates have been created because of the progress we've made. And if we don't address them, we'll see cancer rates and heart disease and chronic breathing problems in people with less education and low income. It's definitely going to come.
And I wanted to ask about those disparities, because that doesn't just come up in the area of tobacco in this report. Suicide is another area, addiction. How do we start to... is it a matter of reaching people with that information who aren't getting it, or is it this, again, an engineering issue?
I think it's a design issue, in that many times we implement programs that, as designed, lead to disparities. When they're designed with information requiring literacy or resources. So we need to design them right, and from the outset think about the impact of an intervention, a policy, or a program on people with less opportunity, with less income or less education. If you design it right that way from the outset, then you're less likely to see these health disparities develop over time.
Well, thanks, as always, for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
That's Dr. Patrick Remington, Associate Dean of Public Health at the UW School of Medicine and Public Health. He joins today to talk about the recently released Healthy Wisconsin Initiative. Still time for you to share your thoughts over at the Central Time Facebook page. Let us know what's going on in your community when it comes to these health issues we've talked about, issues of binge drinking, alcohol abuse, tobacco, or boosting better nutrition, better exercise. Again, tell your community story over at the Central Time Facebook page.